Vilchav Gimel Kvar Domisilach on page 64 in our print, next to the last line. Now we get involved in a long explanation of the Mesaira, of the fact that the Kuzar asked how we know that the Karaite's approach is incorrect and whether it can be proven. And as I mentioned to you in this letter, in Ois Chav Gimel, there are two sections. The first point he makes, which we learned yesterday, is that you can only do the will of Hashem if you do the will of Hashem, not if you do what you might think God wants, which is common behavior. I think I mentioned yesterday that people typically buy gifts for other people, things that they themselves would like to get, not necessarily things the other person would like to get. Or in marriage, typically a wife cooks what she thinks tastes good, not necessarily what the husband thinks tastes good. And I don't know in your personal lives, but I very often warn the chassanim about this type of thing. That human behavior is that way. It's people project their thoughts onto other people, and even onto the Rabbi Shalom, even onto God. What a person thinks is proper. It just sounds, it feels right. And it's not because the person's wrong. It's good. You know, my wife will still put something in front of me and tell me to taste it. And I'll tell her we're married almost 35 years. I've never eaten a mushroom. Why are you giving me mushrooms? And she'll say every time, she'll say, but it's good. That's what she'll say to me, but it's good. So she's right. In her world, it's good. In my world, it may not be good. The point is that people project their own tastes onto other people and even onto Rabbi Nishalan. And that's the first point he made, is that you can't take your desire and project it on the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now still you have to know how we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire, and that's where this continues. So here, Kavar Tabisi Loch, you're gonna see this a lot in the Kuzari. He starts making a speech which seems to be out of left field, has no connection to what we're talking about. And nevertheless, you'll see the connection pretty soon. Now, before I tell you this, I have to tell you something about the scientific world in which Rabbeinu Yehuda HaLevi lived. Today, we understand that there's a periodic table and a certain number of elements. When I was in chemistry class, there were just over 100. It was 104. By today, you know, anybody know? Was it about 118? So there are 118, let us say, elements that make up the world. And pretty much anything is made up of a combination of them. You know, just like you have H2O, so you have hydrogen and oxygen, which create water. Anything you take is a mixture of different elements. So there are only 100, and call it 118 elements. And everything you see is a mixture somehow of those elements. Now, here we're going back to a long time ago when the world still functioned or was understood to function on the Greek idea that there are four, so to speak, elements, for lack of a better word, but four essential parts in which everything was made. Those four essential parts are, in one phrase or another, a fire and wind, and water and earth. So those were that was the breakdown of what everything is made from. So that, just like as we say today, from the 118 elements, you can create anything. You can take a star, or a piece of cardboard, or an apple, and you can really break it down. Ultimately, if you break it down enough, you'll get to something from the 118 elements. Now he's saying the same thing, but he's talking about four. The four items, which instead of calling them, as I did, more well-known, fire and wind, water and earth, he calls it hachoim v'hakoyer halach v'hayovesh, that which is hot, that which is cool, that which is wet, and that which is dry, which are the same thing. Fire is hot, and water is cool, and what did I say? Fire is cool, and wind is cool, and water is wet, and earth is dry. So basically, everything is a mixture from those elements. So we're going to read it regarding four elements, but if you think about it regarding the 118 elements, you'll see that the sefer is way, way ahead of its time. Now listen to what he says. Kvar demisilach. I've already suggested to you, b'yitziras ha-tzemach v'ha-chayim, when we discussed the creation of living things, and whether plant life or mobile life, v'amarti ki ha-tzura ha-shabo yia etzem tzemach mi-bilti tzameach, v'chay mi-bilti chay, the ability to create a living thing from something that's not alive. Now, a living thing from a living thing, that's the way we procreate, that's the way, that's part of the nature of the world. You take a seed and you plant it. But the ability to create a plant from something that's not a plant, or a living thing from something that's not a living thing, and nobody can do that today. We understand that to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that the wise men refer to as nature, v'emesu, ki atibiyin mizdamnin likbal ha-maisahu kifi erkam. Those who study nature try to break down, to understand whatever they see, kifi erkam, according to their, each item's erech, according to what it is, me'achayim v'akar halachas v'ayayvesh, from the essential elements. V'yeh zeh tamar, zeh gefen, zeh sus v'zeh ari. So if you see a lion and a horse, so they look very different. But if you break them down to the molecules, they all come from the regular, from the same building blocks of creation. Just each one is different. Why? The individual items. If we would have the scientific knowledge to break a horse or a vine or a tamar as a palm tree, if we could break everything down to its essential elements, we would be able to make in the laboratory dam v'chalav derech mashal. He says, for example, we would be able to create blood in the laboratory. If we can break down blood and say it comes from this, that, and this many elements, and this many parts or particles of each element, and then we go out and find those elements in trees, and find those elements in flesh, and find those elements in apples, wherever we would get them, and we would bring them into the lab, we would be able to make blood, we'd be able to make milk, derech mashal. V'shichva zera, l'chayos, shenishar mizgehem. And shichva zera, which can give life, shenishar mizgehem, if we could measure what they're a combination of, ashenuch livrei chayim shiyochalu rach behem. That in a lab, we could theoretically even create something which can be alive. It would be possible to make food from things that are not food. Now, like I said, this is way ahead of his time. But today, they say that being able to create artificial blood is only a matter of time. That's what they're working on today, to be able to create a synthetic blood. What is synthetic blood? It comes from particles of matter. If you break down blood to what it is, and you get the particles from elsewhere, so you can create blood. He says you can create bread from things that are not edible. If you can break them down to their essential components, you'd be able to do it. The question is where he's going with all this, because what's this got to do with the Karoim, but you'll see so.
Did the
Mitzvah
do that?
The Mitzvah presumably did it with magic. So I don't know what magic is. If magic works this way. He'll refer to it in a second. And in 2 seconds. B'sharenu ha-choyim ha-lachos ha-kar v'ayayvesh. If we measure all the essential building blocks of something, so we could make them. Koshkein imnoida ha-erchem ha-gilgoliyim. Certainly if we understood all the heavenly orbits of ha-seyem ha-ezrim ha-das ha-choyzim. And however, the behavior of the celestial bodies helps somehow. B'chol ma-sharoitzim la-haris b'ilam ha-zeh. However, it affects this world. And we already see there were people who tried this and failed. This refers to the alchemists that tried to make gold out of whatever, out of copper, out of wood. What? Out of anything. And what would they were trying to do this. They were trying to figure out how you can turn other things into gold. Vasais had devoirim mebasar habakar. They wanted to make bees out of the flesh of cattle, yetusha mehayayin, and fleas out of wine. Now, I'm not familiar with this, but in the Kol Yehuda, he brings apparently some famous Greek Greek thinker, Tamastios, who in his book discusses this idea, the idea of, and those are his examples, making a bee from the flesh of cattle, or creating flies from wine, somehow breaking down, as I say, to their essentials and reconfigurating them. These are from the test that they tested, just like when from human beings who marry, you get a child. And a person did nothing more than someone who puts a seed in a place where it could grow. So what is he saying? He's saying that in theory, it would be possible to combine things and make new things. When people try, people fail. How do we create? We take a seed, we put it in the ground. So we don't take the calculation of what you need to have a tree. God put it into nature and the tree comes up. So where's he going with this? Now he explains. All the different parts that you need to make a person, even though in theory you could do it, only God knows the combination. It's sort of a genetic code. Says, if so, if that's true in the physical world, now he's getting back to the Torah. The living nation that has taken God's name, the Jewish people, to put together all the parts that create the Jewish people, only God can do. And we have to know from God how you create that. And nobody can be wiser than God's words. So therefore, what he's saying now is that even though it might be possible in theory for a human being to figure out what God, how God creates the chosen people, but only God really has the combination. Now, he's not done yet. He's saying that the Rabbi Shalom had to somehow give us the combination that creates those who are his people. Now, how do you think we can figure this out? How can we figure out the tachpula, the method by which the generations of Jews have chosen to go? And not to use our own seichel. How does one come to that? So what he's saying here is we have a goal. The goal is to figure out combination of acts that together create. Now we understand that the combination is 613 elements, so to speak, that coming together create a Klal Yisrael. So he says to the Kuzar, now let's see, how do we go about that? Amar HaKuzari. So the king responds, E'efshel l'zeh ala batakas devreyem v'samach ma'aseyem. The only way we can know how the generations back to Sinai did this is only by Takas Devrayim. You can only, how do you know you're a generation with, I don't know how many generations it is from me to Sinai, but let's say it's, I don't know, it's 100 generations up. How do I know what the 100 generations said? There has to somehow be recorded. B'smach ma'aseyim, or records of their actions. If you'll have it handed down from generation down, and nobody in those generations failed to agree with it. So you want to know who's right, the Karaites or us. So we agree it has to come from Hashem. But we have to have an unbroken chain that goes up. Here I'm going to tell you something that...
about the unbroken chain, rather than he'd make a mixture. Meaning, that should have been the sight, that this is an unbroken chain. Whereas, the other way, what he's really throwing on, we can't let it be by ourselves. So, that would be good.
Well, you see, we're accustomed to the fact that you need a Messiah. He first wanted to show in the previous eyes that without a Messiah, it's impossible to figure it out. Without it coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's really what he wanted to show before. Now he moves on to Messiah. Now the Kuzar later will present his opinion that there was a break in the chain between us and Sinai. He's going to prove to him from the book of Nehemiah, which happens to be something that I dealt with in the Hakashurim this year, that a point in Nehemiah, remember there's a place where they seem not to know what Sukkos is. And he's going to present later his arguments historically, the Kuzar's arguments. But first, before they get to their arguments, they're dealing now with the system by which you figure it out. Now the Chavr knows that they're always machlokes among the Jews. They're always different opinions. So he says, Amar Chavr, Uma Taimer im Yimsa Chiluf, B'Sefer Echad B'Shtayim V'Shloisha. Now, he says, I'm going to prove this to you, and you're going to find differences between different books. What are you going to tell me? Amar Kuzari, so the king responds, Ya'ainu B'Rai V'Asfarim, we'll go according to the majority. Ki Yorabim Lo Yavro Le'em HaKozov. And the majority lie won't make its way down. V'yinichu HaYechidim will abandon the individual opinions. Kim B'Matikim Shichuku Amiyat Yeshuv L'Das HaRai. So too, if we find a Messiah, we will leave the miut and take the majority. Amar Achavim. Now, gets a little tricky. If somebody opens up a Chumash for the first time, or a Sefer Torah, and he says, okay, we'll know what the Jews would teach. Now, there seem to be errors, the Ksiv and Kri differences, or places where, for drasha reasons, similar words are interpreted differently. Atikri, Bonayich, Alaboynayich, right? We say it all the time. Now, we're used to it. But he has to bring up the Chavr before he can pull out a Sefer Torah and talk to the king. He has to pull up the possibilities of what's going to come. So he presents the following. Omer Achav. Matraimar ba'ois she'timtze b'svarim b'chiluf ha'akasha. What are you going to do if you find a letter in the books which is different in a way that's difficult? Come on. Tzadu tzadu tze'udeinu hatira shehutzaru. The pasuk tzadu tze'udeinu, which seems to read better if it would say tzaru tze'udeinu. Or, Ashaloi nasa alashav nafshi, yishiveyu nafshai. Again, it's the difference between the Kri and the Ksiv. It reads better, Ashaloi nasa alashav nafshai. We're saying, who is a righteous man? The man who has not sworn for no reason. So, Zulazen, many others, Shalinuchla Saprabai, I can't count for you all the places where you're going to have this puzzle. What are you going to do? Are you just going to say it's a mistake and let's change it? Amar Akuzari, so the king says, well, let's see. In Tishlai Ta'akasha al-Elav Adayim Lahem, Tishana Asfarim Kulam, if you're going to allow kashas on a book that's handed down, in Tishlai, if you'll give power, Ha'akasha, to the difficulties al-Elav Adayim Lahem, Tishana Asfarim Kulam, you're going to change all the books. We have books that are Messiah. He's referring here to Tehillim and Nehemiah, all the books after Sinai that we have. He says, if you're going to let people change it because it looks strange to them, Tishana, Asfarim, Kulam, everything's going to change totally. Ba'is Yistchila, first in the letters, Akap Emilais, then with the words, Akap Echiburim, and then with the whole sections, Akap Benikud, then in the Kudis, Metamim, in the Trop, Yishtana, and Yanim. Kama Psukim Yochaladim Lahatik in Yoneim, there are many places where you could make things mean the reverse by changing something. There was, after the printing press, there was a cherim, I believe, from Rabbeinu Tam in his Beis Din. And if you're learning Gemara, and it seems like there's a printing error, and there were certainly war and continue to be printing errors in Sfarim, don't change it in the text. The cherim of Rabbeinu Tam was to leave the original and put a notation on the side of the page. And don't change the text because you think it's a mistake. Because many times you'd be right, it's a mistake. Sometimes it won't be a mistake. It's deliberately there because of a change, and you have to know. He gives an example here in the note. We find somebody named Reuel and later named De'uel. Same person. Reuel and De'uel. It would seem to me that a resh and a dalet in the printer got mixed up. Right? If I was an editor, I would just, I don't know which one I would change. Does one do well and one do well? The same person. So, which one to change? And we don't change either of them. We have an understanding that he was close to God. People called him Reuel, the Reya of God, the friend of God. Duel, the man who knows God. So he was actually called both because of the meaning. But the point he's making before he goes anywhere with the king, is that just like he said, you can't logically decide what God wants. Same thing with God's books. You can't just change his books as you see fit. So, Memele, we come to the question, Chavtes, Amar Chavar, Ech Tavshe Shenich Maisha Rabbeinu, Maisha Sefer Teras El B'nai Yisrael. So now, how do you think we should study the book of Maisha, the Torah? And for that, we'll continue with Ois Lamed on Thursday, Pesach session. Okay, you have to hold on. This is more, I started with the first part because that was the most practical.
Yeah, this is much more difficult.
It's esoteric. It's not, you can't go down Shmoneh Esrei with it. But okay, we'll see how it goes.
Stupid.